Well, this is one of those weeks that I really wish I produced a video podcast, because this is absolutely the nicest, most lovely, most civilized location I have ever recorded a podcast. Here in Oakville, in the beautiful Napa Valley, I'm sitting here on the back porch of the grand headquarters of Nickel & Nickel Winery, talking to Jennifer King, the artistic director of Shakespeare Napa Valley. You don't pay much, but boy, the perks are good, Jennifer, I gotta tell you.
Well, absolutely. It's why I'm still here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 442, Shakespeare Napa Valley. Shakespeare Napa Valley is this tiny little jewel of a company nestled in the heart of Northern California's beautiful wine country and run by artistic director Jennifer King, who, as it happens, is a tiny little jewel of a person. Shakespeare Napa Valley is producing the world premiere workshop production of Reed Martin's and my new script, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. So I wanted to talk to Jennifer about her company while at the same time enjoying some really exquisite Cabernet.
I mean, what is better than theater in this incredible setting? And this summer is going to be absolutely extraordinary with our new move up valley to St. Helena.
It's all good. Last week we talked about the new show, William Shakespeare's Long Lost First Play, Abridged, and we talked about the fact that not only are we returning to our Shakespearean roots, but we're returning to outdoor performance, which is a thing we haven't done since our beginning days at the Renaissance Fairs in Nevada, you know, half an hour from here, 45 minutes from here. So the fact that Shakespeare Napa Valley has brought us in to do this is a phenomenal way to workshop this new script. And Jennifer, we've worked with you before because you are at Shakespeare Napa Valley, and you were involved with
Sonoma County Repertory Theater.
Yeah, that's right.
when we first started working together.
Right, right.
In fact, our history goes back with collaboration with Reed. He's on faculty at Napa Valley College.
That's right.
And Shakespeare Napa Valley is a program of Napa Valley College, but it's its own sort of entity that was birthed there. And now we're returning to Napa Valley. It's funny you talk about returning. We're returning to Napa Valley College, where we are performing on site at their amphitheater outdoors in St. Helena. And what's really remarkable about this particular amphitheater, and I think what's going to serve us well, is the fact in some places you have to use amplification. And
yes,
the way this outdoor venue is constructed, amplification is absolutely not necessary.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. Well, and of course, the joke of the show is that we have found this original manuscript that Shakespeare's company, the Chamberlain's Men, would have performed back in the day, 400 years ago. But there are internal textual clues that suggest that he didn't want this play to be performed. But gosh darn it, we're going to perform it anyway, and to be performing outside, in the way that the Globe Theater was outside. There's something about performing Shakespeare outside that seems really, really right. Is that part of Shakespeare Napa Valley's mission, or was this a lucky accident?
No, I think that one of the things we've tried to do is create relevant and accessible Shakespeare productions, and that by no means equates to dumbing down.
Mm-hmm.
It means inspiring our audiences. For the past 4 years, we've been performing in downtown Napa at Veterans Park, playing to over, at sometimes, 1,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
It was extraordinary.
I saw your Comedy of Errors a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and people would walk by and come in, and of course you had all kinds of people, and it really felt that you were playing in Shakespeare's time, because you definitely had the groundlings, along with tourists from around the world who were coming in who had loads of money. So we were really sort of playing to three different types of audiences.
Right.
And inspiring them with the work. Where we're moving to now, it's much more contained.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we were doing everything for free, and now we are charging because really the work we do has value.
Mm.
And so, and people want to pay. They want to give to what we're doing. And the other great thing about being in St. Helena this year is we're going to be tied to a smaller community who absolutely loves the idea of having theater as the fabric of their community.
Sure, as the backdrop. Well, and just driving up here to Nickel & Nickel Winery, I pass all the wineries, and I see that different wineries have different weekend concerts or evening performances, because this area, this entire area, wants to bring in culture you get people here to taste the wine. What else do they do?
The other thing is what I think the work that we're doing also is there's this term world class that we use up here, particularly the wines. I think more and more they want to see it with the arts, and this is one of the ways that we contribute to the diversity of this region is to fill that void, because there isn't a lot of theater up here, and certainly not a lot of professional theater. Mm-hmm. And with what we do, combining both the work of students with professionals, with writers such as yourselves, I think we are doing something rather significant for the community of Napa Valley.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean, anytime you can produce, you know, America's greatest living playwright, William Shakespeare.
And anytime you can bring Austin Tischner residence.
You know what? I want to ask you about that too, because you have been very great supporting the scripts that Reed and I have written, producing these workshop productions and allowing us to develop the scripts with the actors here and go, oh, yes, that's working, yes, that's not working, and really examine it both in rehearsal and in front of an audience. I'm not even 100% convinced you've read any of the drafts of the script that I've sent you. So where do you get off, A, not reading our scripts, but having the trust to... You know, having the faith to trust in us that we're going to give you something worthwhile.
Well, that's relationship building, isn't it? I've personally been directing your work for a number of years before we even started working together. So I already felt it worked. And then Reed would come in and he would, you know, give an eye to the productions I was directing and making sure I wasn't killing them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think there's just something that happens when you work with artists where you build a relationship and sooner or later you just, I mean... Producing theater is a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah.
And if you can get the right people in the room, boy, does it cut it down. And I really believe in what you're doing, or else you wouldn't be here.
Right.
And so I feel really fortunate to have the artists that we've had this year. I mean, 2015 has been a tremendous year for Napa Valley College.
Oh, good.
We had Octavio Solis in residence.
Yeah.
Then we had John Tracy with his play in residence. And now you and Reed. I mean, what a gift to the college, and what a gift to this valley.
And talk a little bit about the diversity of the valley, because you're talking about the world class nature. But before, you were telling me also about your belief in the diversity, not just racially, but the diversity of artistic diversity.
Well, there's artistic diversity, yes. I mean, what's interesting about this community is you come here and they've done a really great job in marketing it as being this, this very sophisticated place. But basically, it's a very agricultural community where people work in the vineyards and who really don't have exposure to theater.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, theater training is not on the minds.
Yeah, right.
Where this gets to be, I mean, imagine coming to your first experience in going to a school is working with artists who have done it as their career,
right?
And that they are your teachers.
Right, right. Yeah, you're getting. So I think we're going to be having some student understudies as part of our production, and so you're getting our professionals and your students working together.
And also just having all of those students being able to come to a first read of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is extraordinary for them to be in the room and hear it. And then, it's extraordinarily valuable when you and Reed said, okay, well, what did you think?
Mm.
What did you think? And then they have to employ critical thinking skills that sometimes remain unchallenged.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and that's part of it. Too, you know,
and let me just say, there's a freshness to that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you can have a bunch of actors sitting around telling you what's up.
Right.
But to have someone that is, in many respects, an innocent telling you really what the storytelling was to them, then you're really connecting to truth.
Well, and that's everybody's opinion is valid because everybody's experiencing it in their own way. So you put a piece of art out there, and as the playwright, I have one thought on how I think it should be received, but then it will be received in a completely different way. And I know we've had enough people read the script in its current form to suggest that I think we're really going to delight the Shakespeare nerds who come and see this show. And so, of course, now the challenge is to delight the audience members who aren't Shakespeare nerds.
Well, and I think you have a great opportunity with our audiences, because even though I made a joke that, you know, we've got an agricultural community, we also have a very highly educated community.
Yeah.
So that diversity, to be able to have that in your audiences night after night, not to mention the cultural diversity, is rather extraordinary.
Well, and it's also nice to, this is an ongoing mission to make Shakespeare not relevant, but take him off of his pedestal, to make him less elite than he has historically been, at least in the last maybe 100 years. But and I think that's really taking hold, and I think what you're doing here at Shakespeare Napa Valley is absolutely part of that.
Well, and I think also the multi-generational approach to it. You know, there's a lot of stigma of community college or junior college.
Right.
I think what distinguishes Napa Valley College is that it really is for lifelong learners. So you've got people here that, you know, maybe have had careers as actors, and they came to the Valley, and they started working at wineries, and they really miss that part of them. So we have this wonderful eclectic mix of students, experienced actors, and professionals. And the students get to work from each one, and it's very reciprocal. I mean, that's part of the reason why I teach, is that there's something about that person that has never experienced theater that teaches me something. It allows it to reify it for me. And I think that's what that's what I like. And I get this sense that that's what you enjoy as well.
Hey, hello. I'm Adrian Scarborough from TV's Gavin and Stacey, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Lucky you.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, our 82-city UK and Ireland tour of the complete history of Comedy Abridged concludes with our final 8 performances in Derby, Bolton, Wolverhampton, Worcester, Dumfries, Stranraer, Oxford, and Wellingborough. Then, from June 10th to July 10th, we'll be doing a reduced UK tour of the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised. Plus, we've just added 15 new U.S. tour dates to our website. We'll be performing in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas this fall of 2015. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Jennifer King, Artistic Director of Shakespeare Napa Valley. Jennifer, you and I were talking earlier about, and you kind of alluded to it before, community. You know, people come up here to work and then realize, wait, we want to do something creative, artistic, something that enriches our life while we're here. It really does. I'm now living in Chicago, and so I'm well aware of the community. The theater community is so strong and so tight in that kind of tight-knit urban community. But here in the sprawling Bay Area, I'm finding there's a similar community, even in the North Bay to the East Bay to even the South, in San Francisco and the South Bay.
There's one of the most extraordinary theater communities, which is the Bay Area. It is sprawling, but the level of support for each other is huge, and so much so that we drive everywhere to support each other's work and to participate.
Right.
To have Teddy Spencer driving up from Walnut Creek, which is the East Bay, which is a good 60 miles away, and we've got other actors doing the same thing that are in the Comedy of Errors that we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a commitment that they're making because they believe in the work and know that they can make a difference in this community. And I think that's rather huge.
Yeah.
People that work with us know that they're not only doing it because, well, they have a job, but they do know that they're making a difference artistically in an area which lacks theater-going opportunities.
Yeah. So how long has Shakespeare Napa Valley been around?
About 5 years.
Okay.
When I was working with Reed Martin, this is a funny story. Well, when I was doing the plays over in Sonoma County Repertory Theater, when y'all came over and did sports, I was doing a production of The Taming of the Shrew, and I was directing over there.
Okay.
I was also had a tenure track at Napa Valley College.
Mm-hmm.
They had their own theater program, what I mean a Shakespeare program, that was just students doing plays. And the division chair at the time came over and saw Taming of the Shrew, and then she saw the production at the college, and she said, "Excuse me, but why are you doing that there and not doing it here?"
Right.
And the next summer, Shakespeare Napa Valley was born.
Okay.
But really, when it took flight is when we got off campus and we went downtown Napa and we became the center of a community. I thought that was key. People could walk by and see the set.
Yeah.
They came down and they would ask questions during rehearsals. I think there's something key about having that visibility.
Yeah.
And so now being able to do that in St. Helena to that same level of visibility in a smaller community is And also, it's a bit more self-contained. What's interesting about doing it in a park downtown Napa is you've got a set that any skateboarder can play on. Your dressing rooms may be about half a mile away.
Right.
Because
if they're not using the bathroom at the Starbucks.
Exactly. Because the business owner has donated that space. So it's just sort of everybody gets together to do it.
Right.
Because of the Upper Valley campus, we're able to have everything self-contained and really be a summer festival.
Yeah. Well, and you take the work out of the college,
yes,
and into the community.
Right.
I mean, it's so great that a theater can be, or theater generally, but a theater, an institution,
yes,
can be a community center.
Well, and it shows that Napa Valley College, it shows its values, and it values the community, and it values the arts, and you know, this level of commitment to have us there, you know, showcased for the summer, is really generous.
Well, not only are we doing this workshop production here at Shakespeare Napa Valley, but somehow you managed to then get this production transferred. It's not going to just play here in Shakespeare Napa Valley, mm-hmm, but the Shakespeare Napa Valley production is going to go on to the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah, which I think I'm so excited about, because you're going to have two very different audiences.
Yeah.
You've got California, and then you've got the Midwest.
And Midwest, and one is outdoors, and will be indoors.
Right. So my relationship with the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival, I went to graduate school at J.C. Skelton, their former artistic director.
Oh, okay.
And we have been doing productions every summer in the UK.
Oh.
And he's continued his relationship with the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival.
Okay.
And so I met their artistic director, Grant Mudge, mm-hmm, through Jay.
Oh, cool.
And a relationship was born.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
And so he just sort of went, wouldn't this be great?
Yeah.
And it just, I absolutely adore Jay. We have a huge, again, relationship, 20-year history together.
Right.
I really loved what he was doing at Notre Dame, and I just thought it would be a really, if anything, interesting experiment.
No, that's absolutely right. Well, and then relationships are important kind of in every field.
Well, we need it now more than ever.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a complete win-win to do it here. We're certainly not in competition for audiences, and we get
absolutely
to really support each other in the things that we're trying to do.
Well, and before I go, I got to thank Mr. Dodds Dalzell, who is, I think, the owner of Nickel & Nickel Winery. Is that right? Do I have that right?
No, I wish I was the owner of Nickel & Nickel. I'm just the chief cook and bottle washer.
That's a great title. And Dodds, of course, has toured with us to Wisconsin with the Reduced Shakespeare Company and performed in the workshop productions of Sports and Christmas.
And has been a critical member of Shakespeare Napa Valley. And I don't even want to say was, or he is a critical
member.
He's ongoing,
and he's in critical condition.
Yes, absolutely. That's what happens when you get old and gray. But, I mean, when Jennifer was saying, that was the thing about Shakespeare Napa Valley that was so important, was the same type of thing that happened to me very early in the theater, having professionals come back in and now being a professional.
Yeah.
That was kind of how Jennifer and I made that jump together, you know, when she was like, this would be really great if you could come in and do that, because that mentorship, the same type of thing that you're doing with those workshops at Napa College, having the understudy kids, you know, with you and Reed doing that and having Jennifer, that kind of synergy has been the thing that, you know, really lit my fire. And you can see how those relationships, as you're saying, with you, you know, working with you guys, working with a college, that the young actors take away with them, or they see a way to work or have an experience that would never happen.
And I have to say something about training that I've learned through this.
Okay.
Is that there's one thing to teach it, and I teach it all the time, but when you have those mentors, those professionals, and the work just skyrockets. And you don't have to say, do this, do that. They're watching, they're taking it in, and they're inspired, and they want to be that. And as a result, they leap farther than you could ever imagine.
They do the same thing I did as a student. I can steal that.
And you wonder what the King's Men, is that, am I right about Shakespeare's company?
The Chamberlain's Men, and then when King James came on, they became the King's Men.
But you know, the level of apprenticeship, it's just sort of nice to know that it's still living.
It's ongoing. It's an ongoing process from then to now. It's an ongoing process. Absolutely. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your world-class art via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks on our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Grape Stomper Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Gary Locke. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to genuine Shakespearean Adrian Scarborough, whose TV show Blunt Talk begins this summer on the Starz Network here in the States, and which stars another genuine Shakespearean, Sir Patrick Stewart. Thanks also to Jennifer King and to Dodds Delzell and Nickel & Nickel Winery for hosting us. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 442 1326th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The only bad part of that thing from the Chamberlain's Men to the King's Men is that, you know, when King James came in, he could have renamed the group anything. He named it the King's Men. Wouldn't it have been awesome if he'd named Shakespeare's group of actors the James Gang?
Well, sure.
Jennifer King sort of likes the King's Men.
Fair enough.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.